What's going on, everybody? I'm Jay, and this is the Rewatch Podcast. I watch movies all the time. Then I like to rewatch them, and sometimes I'll even watch them again. It doesn't matter if they're good or bad or just downright terrible. I'm going to watch them and then tell you all about them. And sometimes I'll have special guests join me. This is the Rewatch Podcast.
Welcome back to the Rewatch Podcast. I'm Jay Thomas, and this week we're going to be talking about the X-Men prequels? I say prequels like that because I don't know that they're necessary prequels or if they're just another multiverse situation. I think they started as prequels and then eventually they're like, "F it, this franchise is all over the place. Most of these movies aren't very good, so let's just go with it." Why do I want to talk about these movies? Because the X-Men have been kind of on my mind lately, with Disney Plus bringing back the X-Men animated series it's a sequel series to the 90s animated series, which was my introduction to the X-Men. It's what I loved about the X-Men the most. I love that version of the X-Men. I loved them in the games, and that's just what I know, and it's what I've always liked. And I really did like the first two X-Men movies, X-Men and X2. I thought they were great, but the thing that I didn't like about them is that they didn't really have the X-Men that I knew. I mean, they did. The characters were there, but they didn't necessarily look like the X-Men that I wanted them to be. I like the blue and yellow. You know, I like the bright costumes. I like the look of the X-Men, the very comic book look. And they try to do like a little darker thing, and they were all in black leather type suits. And, you know, it was fine for the time. That's kind of how they were doing things. The comic book movies blew up after the X-Men movie debuted in theaters. It gave everybody Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, who ended up being one of the most iconic movie characters of all time. Alone in the comics, I mean, Wolverine's great. I love Wolverine. He's great in the cartoon. He's fun playing the games. He's fun in the comics. But the thing about Wolverine is Wolverine tends to take over everything. And one of the things I liked about the idea of the prequels is that there really wasn't Wolverine. But before I get to that, I want to talk a little bit about the original movies. So I really liked the first movie. I thought it was great. Patrick Stewart as Professor X, amazing. Ian McKellen as Magneto, wonderful. Like, they were so good. Them mixed with Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, this person we had never seen before, just captured the characters. Like, they just did a really good job. Bryan Singer directed it, and it was really the thing that made comic book movies stand out and really started the big boom. You could make an argument for Blade, but as a person that was only, you know, somewhat into comic books, I didn't know Blade was a comic book. I really didn't. I thought Blade was just a vampire movie with Wesley Snipes that looked ridiculous. And it is that, but it is also a comic book movie. But I would say once X-Men hit huge, and then it was followed almost immediately by Spider-Man, which I think they were making them around the same time, then it just blew up. And movies have never been the same since. They had a good run. X-Men and X2, phenomenal movies. X2, everything good about the first movie, doubled. The X2 is so good. They added Nightcrawler into it, and he was just very, very... They did him justice. I mean, he didn't quite look like the comic, but it was really close, and his power of just appearing out of nowhere and then having that poof sound was amazing. It was great. We got more Wolverine backstory, which is always mysterious and fun, and I liked it, and it started to be the beginning of the Phoenix character with Jean Grey, played by Famke Janssen. Cyclops was sort of sidelined in the second movie. James Marsden plays Cyclops. And I like him. He's fine. Cyclops, kind of a dull character. He is better in the comic books. And I liked him in the animated show because I always tended to lean towards the leaders of groups. I don't know why. I just like, oh, I like the leader. Stupid. Dumb. Cyclops is a dumb character. And I don't care about him at all. And James Marsden isn't really given a whole lot to do in these movies as Cyclops. And in the second one, he gets even less to do than he did in the first one. But those first two movies, they're amazing. And then the second movie ends with a little glimpse in the water of something fiery. And Famke Janssen's Jean Grey sacrificed herself for everybody else and destroyed like this dam. And so she died. And it looked like it was going to be the rise of the Phoenix. And the Phoenix is a very strong character in the comic books, takes over Jean Grey, and she becomes this all-powerful being who is evil and like tries to destroy everything. And that's where it was leading into the third movie. And then the third movie came in. We got Beast. Beast, played by Kelsey Grammer, like the most perfect casting you can imagine for the Beast character that we knew like in the cartoon. Like Kelsey Grammer's voice was just perfect for Beast. And it was another blue character, which something about X-Men and blue characters. It's a little weird. There are other colors out there. I don't know if they know that or not, but there are other colors. But they also tried to throw in, along with the Dark Phoenix saga, they also tried to throw in the storyline of The Cure, where half the movie was about this mutant cure. They added the character of Angel, and they also had Juggernaut, and a bunch of other mutants that I don't remember who they were, because there's so many mutants in that movie, and they don't really give anybody that much room. Like, you're like, oh, I think I've seen that guy in the comics or in the cartoon. Maybe I've seen her before. But they don't really care. Like, it's not a huge deal. They pay off storylines with Iceman and Pyro and Rogue. I didn't even talk about Rogue. But you know, Anna Paquin plays Rogue very well in the first X-Men movie. It's fine in the second one. Third one, Rogue wants to take the cure, which is the same as in the comics. But it's starting to not really, I'm starting to not really care as much. And I don't think X3 is done as well as the other two movies. Not done by Bryan Singer. He left the franchise to go do Superman Returns. That didn't exactly pay off well for him or anyone. But Brett Ratner did the third movie. And it while it has its moments, and they give us some things here and there, Storm has a bit more to do. Halle Berry has a bit more to do in this one. But overall, it's kind of a mess of a movie. And then the very next movie they did was X-Men Origins Wolverine, which is absolute dog shit. It is a terrible movie. Again, they're just throwing mutants in now. They're just throwing mutants in. It's supposed to be Wolverine's origin. You've got Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool, but not the Deadpool that we know, not the Deadpool from the comics. It was pre-suited Deadpool, and it's an abomination of the character. I went to a midnight showing of Wolverine, and I was so mad. It's terrible. The special effects are bad. The story is bad. They have elements in it that work. Like, they recast Sabretooth, who was in the first movie, and it's Liev Schreiber in this one, and he does a really good job. Like, he's a really cool version of Sabretooth, and I like him and Hugh Jackman together. You just want to watch him fight the whole time. But anyway, X-Men was basically in the toilet, and then they decided to do a prequel that takes place in the 60s. It was supposed to just be a movie about Magneto hunting Nazis, which, sign me up, that's amazing. I love that idea. But it ended up being an origin story for not only Magneto, but also Professor X and Mystique, which I thought was weird. I didn't understand why that was happening. But this time, they had to recast. So Michael Fassbender played Magneto, and we had James McAvoy as Professor X, Charles Xavier, and Mystique was played this time by Jennifer Lawrence. It was originally Rebecca Romijn, and Mystique was always looked a little bit different than she did in the comics. She's scaly and blue and naked. That's what she is in the X-Men movies, which is, I get it, it makes sense, but it is a little weird when you think about it. Because the first time you meet Mystique, she's a child, naked and blue. It's odd. It's a very strange moment in the franchise. But the reason I decided I wanted to go back and watch the X-Men prequels is because, one, I'm not as familiar with them. I mean, I've seen them all, and I own almost all of them, unfortunately. But I haven't watched them a lot, and they do something that the original franchise doesn't do. Like, one, they're not bogged down by Wolverine. Not really. They also put color into the series. Like, it's not as muted as the other movies are. The other movies, there's a lot of blue. That's about the only color. It's like blue and like muted things and like black suits and stuff like that. They sort of have the designs that the X-Men have, but they're all black. So then in this one, you start to get a little bit of the yellow and a little bit of the blue that a lot of the X-Men have in the comics and in the 90s show, which I, again, love. That those are my X-Men. And so you get a little bit of that, and you get an introduction of Beast, played by Nicholas Hoult this time. And I like the movie. I like it. I don't love it, but it is much better than Wolverine, X-Men Origins Wolverine, much better than X-Men 3. It's got kind of this, like, suave 60s vibe to it, and the look of everything is really cool. I've always liked the mid-century look of things anyway, whether it's furniture or clothing. I've just always liked the 60s aesthetic. And it fits the X-Men so well, because that's where the X-Men came from. I mean, that's the decade that they first showed up in. And I like that they took the franchise back all the way there. I thought it was weird that they had Jennifer Lawrence's Mystique and James McAvoy's Xavier be kind of brother and sister, like in a foster family type of situation. That seemed strange to me. But otherwise, this movie is very enjoyable. But as far as the first class goes, they added mutants that I just didn't really care about. And I think that's something that sort of happens in these movies, is they the first class, as I knew it, was Iceman, Beast, Cyclops, Jean Grey, and I think Storm. I think that was the first class. There might be more people in there. But that's what I always think of when I think of the X-Men. Well, in this one, they don't have them. Jennifer Lawrence plays Mystique as sort of a teenager, I guess. Kind of. A young adult, I suppose. And her and Nicholas Holt's Beast kind of have a slight romance, but never fully goes. But the other X-Men, the other new mutants, I guess you should say, we've got Banshee, Havoc, who's Cyclops' brother. It's a little weird. Darwin, who is a character I didn't know who he was. I didn't know who any of these people were. There's another Angel, which they had an Angel in X-Men 3, but it was a guy version, the Angel that I know. I don't know if this version is... It's played by Zoe Kravitz, and which I totally forgot she was even in this movie. But they're just sort of there. They're not that neat. They're not that cool of characters, I didn't think. I didn't think anybody could be more bland than Cyclops to begin with. Then Havoc comes around. He basically has the eye power, except it's like in his waist. It's like he's hula hooping, and then these things come out of him. It's very strange. And then the bad guys in this one, it's Kevin Bacon playing Sebastian Shaw, and he has got Emma Frost, January Jones. There's Azazel, who is basically Nightcrawler, but red and looks like the devil, which is neat looking. So you've got like those characters, and they're in like this 60s nightclub. I mean, there's sort of like a James Bond element to the movie. And for a while, you do see Magneto hunting down Nazis. And that's all cool, and I wish we could have kind of kept it there. But eventually, it gets to the point where you find out the X-Men are involved in the Cuban Missile Crisis that happens, and they help avert everything. Well, Magneto almost brings it to actually happen, because he's hunting Shaw, but then also believes everything that Shaw believes, that mutants are the future and humans need to die. So he kind of becomes bad, and he's become best friends with Xavier at this point. And Xavier's like, no, humans are good. We can live together. They end up fighting towards the end. A bullet ricochets off of Magneto's helmet, which is kind of funny, and goes right into James McAvoy, who can walk at this point. We've always known Xavier to be in a wheelchair, and this is what puts him into a wheelchair. That's sort of the movie. I didn't talk a lot about it because there's a lot of movies. By the way, this is like the fifth or sixth time I've recorded this podcast. One of them was like well over an hour. I'm going to try to keep it down a little bit. I'm not going to go full force into these movies. But by the end of X-Men First Class, I liked the look of it. I liked the idea of going back that far. Wasn't expecting to go any further. You had Mystique going off with Magneto the way that it should be. You know, I mean, that's they're on the same side in the first X-Men movie. And then Beast and Xavier go off on in their own little direction with their good mutants. And then you just assume that's, you know, eventually we'll all meet up again in the first X-Men movie. This movie did well. People liked this movie. It's definitely a good restart for the franchise. Or a good one-off prequel, which I wish that's where it would have stayed. For the most part, one of the things I really liked about it is that Wolverine's not in it. Like, I like Wolverine as a character, but everything becomes so focused on Wolverine and not having him there. He's in one scene where they're trying to recruit X-Men, where they're trying to recruit mutants to be a part of this group. And they find Wolverine and they go to talk to him. And it's the best F-bomb in any PG-13 movie.
Excuse me, I'm Eric Lentra.
Charles Xavier.
Go f*** yourself.
Next to Adventures in Babysitting.
Don't f*** with the Lords of Hell. Yeah!
Don't f*** with the babysitter.
Oh. One scene. That's all we needed with Wolverine. But powers that be decided, no, we need Hugh Jackman back in this to make it even better. So when it comes to X-Men Days of Future Past, it brings back the cast from the original X-Men movies and the first class. I wasn't sure how I was going to feel about it. And then I saw the movie, and it's amazing. Not only did the original franchise cast come back, but so did Bryan Singer as director, which he'd been gone for a very long time, and it wasn't involved, like, at all. So having him back, it's like, ooh, this might be good. And X-Men Days of Future Past, one of my all-time favorites out of these series of movies. I think X-Men 2 is probably still my favorite. Before this, there's another Wolverine prequel. It's just called The Wolverine, and he's in Japan. And it's got stuff I liked in it, but overall, again, not very good. So, but it hints at the end of the movie, he's at like the airport and Magneto and Xavier show up. With Xavier made no sense because he's dead. He's dead in that timeline. In The Wolverine, it's not a prequel, actually. It is a sequel to X-Men 3 because he still has visions of Jean Grey, who he had to kill in X-Men 3 because she was evil by the end of the movie. And it was like, she kind of becomes good for like a second to tell him, like, you need to kill me. And so he's kind of haunted by her. And all of a sudden he sees Charles Xavier, who's been dead. And that's like, whoa, what's going on? Well, then you get to X-Men Days of Future Past, and you just get to see this future where the Sentinels are hunting down mutants, and mutants are being taken in, and it's horrible. Mutants are dying left and right, and you meet Bishop, who's really cool in the comics and in the animated show, and Wolverine and all these guys, and you see all these characters that we know, like, getting killed. Like, I think Kitty Pryde gets killed, and Bobby Drake, Iceman, gets killed, and Colossus by these Sentinels that are like morphing into their powers as well, and they're killing them off. And then you find out that Kitty has the ability to take them back a few weeks so they can know ahead of time where they need to go to not be hunted. And it's kind of a neat idea. And Halle Berry's back as Storm. She doesn't really do anything in these movies. She's just sort of there. Like, I don't even remember if she says anything. But James Stewart's back. James Stewart. Patrick Stewart as Professor X in the future, and also Ian McKellen. Patrick Stewart gets killed in X-Men 3, and there's really no reason for him to be back in this one if it's the same timeline. You do hear his voice in a after-credit scene in X-Men 3, but you don't actually see him, so I don't know if it's like a clone or what the deal is, but Xavier gets this plan that he's going to go back in time, but he can't because his body won't hold up, and Kitty can't send him back that far. So what happens is she sends Wolverine to the past, and he goes to the 70s. And what happens, the whole reason that the Sentinels are killing everybody is they have DNA from Mystique, because Mystique kills Peter Dinklage, and he's the guy that creates the Sentinels, and he's the one that's saying, you know, we need to be able to see who the mutants are and find out who they are early so we can detect them and stop them from becoming a danger. And he's kind of initially coming at it from a place of good, but he's evil. He's as bad as they get. And apparently, Mystique kills him. And her DNA, she gets captured right at that moment. Her DNA gets used into the Sentinels, and that forces them to be able to hunt down mutants much better than they could before. And so they're going back to stop her from killing Peter Dinklage's character. And Wolverine has to connect with Professor X, who's now like a drug addict because Beast created this serum that can make him able to walk, but it stops him from being able to use his mind powers. And Beast also looks human because he takes it as well. It's a weird way to go, but I like the idea. Michael Fassbender's Magneto is in prison at this point, and they have to bust him out. And they use Evan Peters, who plays Peter Maximoff, Quicksilver. And he's being used to help get Magneto because he's the fastest man alive. He's essentially the Flash. Evan Peters is a breath of fresh air in the franchise. He's very funny in it. He talks really, really quickly, and he moves even faster. And the scene where he has to break out Magneto by going so fast, everything stops, and it's in like super slow motion. And it's a really, really cool scene. It's probably one of the best in the whole franchise. But I really like this movie. I thought there's a lot of really good action scenes. I like the Sentinels that were finally in it because they're such a big part of the animated show and in the comics and in the just the lore of the X-Men. There's always Sentinels. So it's kind of cool that they were finally in it. I like their design. I like the 70s look. I thought it was kind of neat. Quicksilver is a really cool addition. However, the problem is, like, he's so good and his scene is so good, he's really only in that part. Like, he's in maybe two scenes in the whole movie. And it's like, they could use him throughout the whole thing. Like, he would be very helpful towards the end, and they don't use him. And it's, I don't really understand why. There's also a really cool scene where James McAvoy's version of Xavier kind of loses his faith in everything. He doesn't want to be this great Charles Xavier. He doesn't want to do the school. He just doesn't want a part of any of it. And through Wolverine, he's able to meet his future self. And it's Patrick Stewart and James McAvoy. They have a scene together, and it's really neat. I really liked that. I liked the whole timey-wimey-ness of Days of Future Past, and it works out. They save the day like you would imagine. Mystique chooses to be good and not evil, and she doesn't kill, but she goes off on her own. Magneto goes off on his own, floats away. Wolverine ends up at the bottom of a lake, and he gets taken by young Stryker, who takes him in X-Men 2 and does all the experiments. Like, he has him. But then they do this thing where it's not really Stryker, it's actually Mystique. You see the eyes change. It's like, oh, so he's safe. He's not. By the third movie, this little twist is completely ignored entirely. But it was a really good second movie, and I was shocked. I did not think it was going to be as good as it was. It ended up being one of my favorite of the entire franchise of movies. I thought it was great. It's one of my kind of go-to X-Men movies. But my friends, that is where it ends. Because X-Men Apocalypse came out, and the main character is Apocalypse. And Apocalypse in the comics, big giant dude, almost looks like a robot. He's like the first mutant. And that's the storyline going into this, and that's great. Takes place in the 80s. If you keep in track, it's 60s, 70s, and now 80s. We're getting closer to where we met the X-Men, and it's starting to be a little weird. Is it really the same series of movies and same characters, or is this like a whole new multiverse? Which they sort of make reference to. The future is now a whole new thing, kind of saying like, hey, we might do a whole new series of X-Men movies. Let's not worry about it. They get Oscar Isaac to play Apocalypse. And I love this idea because Oscar Isaac is a great actor. He's awesome. But then when the trailer comes out and the movie comes out, Oscar Isaac as Apocalypse looks like Ivan Ooze from the Power Rangers movie. He looks so cheap. Like, this movie looks straight to video a lot of the time. And we're starting to get burnt out. The actors are definitely starting to get burnt out. What I do like about this movie is it's got a nice 80s vibe to it. Xavier is in his wheelchair, but he's got a full head of hair. Looks like he's straight off the set of Miami Vice. Basically, he's dressed like Don Johnson in Miami Vice. Beast, which seems like he's accepted himself, still is human half the time, which is odd. But they've got the school now. Xavier's got his school for the talented and gifted. And it's full of mutants. Some of them we meet, some of them we don't. We do meet Jean Grey, now played by Sophie Turner. We meet a new kid named Scott Summers, a.k.a. Cyclops. His brother Havoc brings him in. Havoc also has long hair and is, I'm not sure exactly what Havoc's deal is, but he thought, you know, he could help Scott. Magneto's left. Magneto has gone into his, he's got his own little family, a daughter and a wife, and he has a job at like a steel mill, and he's just laying low. Mystique's off saving mutants here and there, and she ends up helping Nightcrawler, a new version of Nightcrawler. And, you know, I like those things. Evan Peters also comes back as Quicksilver. And there's some another cool slow motion scene where the school blows up and he has to save everybody. That's kind of neat. But the whole idea is Apocalypse is trying to find the most powerful mutants to destroy humanity and just have mutants. Kind of Magneto's plan, just a much grander scope. There's a younger Storm as well. She joins up on the wrong side with Apocalypse. So does Magneto when Magneto's family gets murdered by police. Then Magneto kills everybody. And then right as he's about to kill everybody in his factory, Apocalypse shows up and Magneto joins his group as well. Apocalypse has a way of making your powers evolve and get, you know, more powerful. And he teaches Magneto to basically take the all the metal from the middle of the earth and make it so he can fly up and take all the metal and do metal things with his metal powers. Not only is Storm and Magneto now with Apocalypse, Psylocke, who is Olivia Munn in this movie, she is with a mutant that can find other mutants, Caliban. Caliban is this guy that like can find mutants, and Psylocke's working with him, and she decides he's useless and wants to go with Apocalypse as well. And I will say this, as much as I don't know much about Psylocke or anything, Olivia Munn as her looks exactly how she's supposed to look, which I thought was kind of neat. I like that idea. Ben Hardy, I don't know who that is, but he plays Angel in this one. Again, a third version of Angel. And this Angel is supposed to be, I believe, the same Angel that we met in the third movie, but is totally different, 100% not the same character. I like the new versions of Jean and Cyclops and Nightcrawler. I like them as 80s versions. They're very colorful. Jubilee has a cameo. Like, she's in this a couple times. She's one of the kids of the school. She's been in a couple of the other ones in, like, scenes, but she's never said by name. I don't even know if she's in this one either. But I like the interaction with Sophie Turner and Ty Sheridan as Cyclops and Jean Grey. I like that. I thought the two of them were I thought they had good chemistry. It was neat to see the beginning of it, and it was neat to see him coming to the school for the first time because he is such an important X-Men. But the weird thing here, so they do the every decades thing, 60s, 70s, now we're in the 80s. Havoc, he doesn't look like he's aged 20 years, which is ideally where this is. This is 20 years from where we first came into it. Nobody has aged 20 years. And I think that's one of the things that also throws me off about it. Like, I like the idea that they're doing them in decades, but it does not visually look like that's the case. You get the 80s vibe and the 60s and 70s, but, like, those people do not age at all. Overall, this movie's kind of a mess. Apocalypse is a terrible bad guy. And you can tell Jennifer Lawrence is kind of starting to not care about being Mystique, even though she's got a little bit of a bigger part in this one as well. Like, she's becoming the Wolverine of this version of the X-Men. She's Wolverine now, where things are starting to center around her because she's the biggest star in the whole thing. And that makes the most sense in the world. But you could tell she's like, I don't want to do this anymore. There's a scene where a lot of them get taken captive where Wolverine is held in the second, you know, in his past. Jean, Grey, Nightcrawler, and Cyclops have to go and save everybody, and they do. But Jean also finds this, she senses this beast, and she's going to go find out what it is and let it out. Maybe he can help. It's Wolverine. And Jean Grey and Wolverine have always had this kind of will-they-won't-they romance along with Cyclops with this weird love triangle. But now that they're younger teen versions, it's very weird with Wolverine, and it's very creepy because Hugh Jackman visually is much older than everybody, and for real he is, but you visually see like this younger, late teen version of Jean Grey and Wolverine. They sort of have this look with each other. It's like, no, this isn't working this time around. The best thing about this movie, the thing that I love the most, is at the very end, you see a new group of X-Men, and they're full on in their costumes that they should be wearing from the comics and from like the 90s animated series. And I loved the ending. It's this great moment where they're all in the danger room. It's Jean Grey, Cyclops, Storm, Beast, Nightcrawler, and Mystique is the leader of the X-Men. And Xavier's watching, and he's bald now because he had a mind fight with Apocalypse, and his hair fell out. That's why he's bald. So dumb. And meanwhile, he's losing this fight also, and Jean Grey overpowers everybody, and you start to get the hint that the Phoenix is in her. Oh my God, her powers are, she can't control him anymore. And that's where it ends. I liked the ending of the Danger Room. I liked that they were in their costumes, but then that is completely thrown away in X-Men Dark Phoenix, which is the last of this franchise. And this is only the second time. I've only ever watched this movie twice, and I hated it both times. I didn't hate it as bad this last viewing, this last rewatch. It's clear Jennifer Lawrence is done. Her blue makeup is different. It's lighter, which doesn't make any sense. And now we're in the 90s, which is great. I love the 90s. That's where we should be. But again, no one's aging anymore. And they should look a lot. James McAvoy should look a lot more like Patrick Stewart at this point. Michael Fassbender looks absolutely nothing like Ian McKellen. Like, they're not even trying to bridge a gap here whatsoever. Like, this is clearly its own X-Men universe. And this is the only one that from beginning to end does not have any cameos from Wolverine, which I liked that. The opening scene's great. They have to save, the X-Men are sent to save a shuttle and astronauts in space. It's a very X-Men scene. It's like the most X-Men scene that they've ever done. And I loved it. I thought that scene was amazing. And then this entity takes over Jean Grey. It's inside of her. It's bringing her powers that she already can't really control. She's having problems controlling it ever since the Apocalypse situation. And there's aliens that come to Earth that are supposed to be the Skrulls from the MCU, but they ended up being in Captain Marvel instead, so they had to go with like a generic alien group that is also from the comics, but I don't really know it. Basically, the whole movie is Jean Grey's getting worse and worse and becoming evil, just like they did in X-Men 3, except it's hard to explain because the Phoenix Saga is so big and it's so like space-oriented. And they don't do that at all in this one. And it's really bad. And it was really bad in X-Men 3. And both movies are written by the exact same person. So he made shitty versions of Dark Phoenix twice. In two completely different ways. The things I like in this movie, just assume I dislike pretty much everything. I thought Sophie Turner did fine. I liked her as Jean Grey. I wish we would have gotten Jean Grey, like a lot of Jean Grey. I wish we would have gotten a movie that didn't have anything to do with Phoenix. I wish it would have been the X-Men that we saw at the end of X-Men Apocalypse, them doing something else. Like, maybe not do another Dark Phoenix story. Like, we've already done it poorly, and now we're doing it again poorly. I don't mind her. I don't mind Cyclops. I don't mind any of the newer people. But then there's another whole group of X-Men, or not X-Men, but mutants that live with Magneto in like this hippie village that he's created. It's really weird. Like, he's off on his own thing. Well, eventually Jean Grey goes to like where her father lives. She finds that her father's alive. She thought he was dead because that's what Xavier told her. And she finds out she accidentally killed her mom with her powers. Well, she caused the car accident that killed the mom, but it was her fault. And then she was mad that the dad doesn't want anything to do with her. And then the X-Men show up to, like, bring her back because her powers are getting out of control. And she kills Jennifer Lawrence's character. And Jennifer Lawrence is like, "Fucking thank you. Finally, I can stop being this character." And Phoenix just kind of gets, just takes over Jean Grey. And she just becomes evil all the way through. And now Beast wants to kill her. But Xavier's like, "No, we can't kill her. She's still Jean. Jean's in there somewhere." But they killed Mystique. They killed Raven. How could you ignore that? Because you guys are brother and sister, remember? Oh, that's right. I forgot. The professor's all depressed. Beast wants to kill Phoenix. So he goes to get Magneto, who's been living his hippie life in this little colony. And meanwhile, Jean's also there to seek refuge. But then she finds out. But then Magneto's like, "Oh, wait a minute. You killed my ex-girlfriend that we never actually saw as my girlfriend in the movies? How dare you? Now I'm going to kill you." So it's Beast and Magneto versus Xavier and Cyclops over the life of Jean Grey as Phoenix. It's just a clusterf*** of a movie. The story is just, I didn't like it. It ends up on a train. There's like a train action scene where Jean's in there, or Phoenix is in there, and everybody's arrested by the government, and then the aliens show up. Everybody has to band together to fight the aliens to save Jean's life. I don't remember. I just watched this. I already forgot stuff that happens. But there is a cool scene on the train where Nightcrawler stops being like a pacifist type guy and just flat out murders folks. And it is amazing. Nightcrawler and Magneto going full force on people is fun to watch. Like, when this movie, when Michael Fassbender gets to just be a badass, it's so much fun to watch. He's so good at being Magneto in this form. But I'm so tired of the whole thing of Magneto's good, Magneto's bad, Magneto's good, Magneto's bad. Drives me insane. I can't stand it. And that is that's what happened. That's the end of the X-Men. I think Jean ends up flying away somewhere. I don't remember. I literally just watched this, and I already forgot how this movie ends. That's how bad it is. There is technically another X-Men movie after Dark Phoenix, but I'm not going to get into it. It was New Mutants. It was Disney had bought Fox at this point, and it was like Fox's last movie that kept getting, it was a pandemic movie that kept getting pushed over and over again to a different time frame. You know, I enjoyed going back and rewatching these movies. I think each one has moments. You've got the opening scene in Dark Phoenix that's amazing. Nightcrawler killing people is great. I thought the introduction of the younger version of Jean and Scott and Storm, I didn't mind that in the previous movie. And I like the old school aesthetic, but like, it just doesn't make, the timeline doesn't make any sense. It doesn't connect with the other movies at all, like I think they originally set out to do. And it's its own thing. I like that we kind of got away from Wolverine, even though I love Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. I think he's great. You know, and in this time, we also had Deadpool show up and be completely meta about the whole thing. And Deadpool was amazing. I haven't watched those, the first and second one. I didn't rewatch those in these. I just wanted to watch the X-Men. And what I will say is it's fun to see the X-Men. And it's fun to see the X-Men in colors and doing their mutiny things. And that's kind of fun. And the fact that we get to see some of them that I like in X-Men Apocalypse, I enjoy that. I enjoy seeing those characters. And I like the 60s look of X-Men First Class. But, I mean, the first two X-Men movies by themselves are better than these four. Except Days of Future Past. Days of Future Past, you pluck that out and it's better. But it's funny that each series of X-Men timelines had two really good movies. And the rest are just Hopefully, when they're full force into the MCU, they do a good job. But really, I could wait. I don't know that we need a full-fledged X-Men movie for quite a while. But I hope that when we actually get one, it's good. But by the time that happens, I'll probably be in my 50s. Ugh. It's a horrible thought. I gotta go lay down.
The Rewatch Podcast is an Alpha Media production.
We came to you a long time ago seeking your help. And I'm gonna say to you what you said to us then. F*** off.